Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Instagram is a beast. There is no lie that every single week the algorithm changes, there's a million new features, there's so much to keep track of, so much you have to worry about, and all you're trying to do is grow your business, trying to get more customers and make more sales on Instagram. That is why we created the Insta Club Hub, to help you learn exactly what you need to know to stay up to date with the changes that are actually relevant to you as a business owner, and to help you grow your following and customer base on Instagram. The Insta Club Hub is available at instaclubhub.com, and there's also a link in the show notes down below this episode. Join the Insta Club Hub now and finally start winning at Instagram by tomorrow.
I found myself squeezing my life and relationships around the demands of my business instead of building a business around the life that I ultimately want to live. I've created this machine that I don't even like, and I'm realizing it's a machine I no longer want to run. Hey, welcome to this edition of Build Your Tribe. Today, you're in luck. You've got both Brock and myself. Hey, Brock, what's going on?
Nothing much. Excited to have this conversation today.
Dude, literally, we talked about this last night on a call, and I was like, we weren't on a call. We were texting.
It turned into a phone call, though.
That's true. And with the recent news of Vanessa Lau, who's like a huge Instagram and YouTube expert, someone who's had tremendous success on both platforms. I mean, her business is really what I think most people would consider like at the pinnacle right now, where people dream of being. And she recently announced that she was shutting almost everything down to take an indefinite sabbatical due to burnout. Mm-hmm. And that's a really common theme amongst content creators. And it's something we want to dive into because many of you, most of you, are content creators.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think this is going to be a really candid conversation. Of course, we don't know Vanessa personally, and so we're not able to interview her on the podcast per se. I doubt she's even doing interviews right now. But we will share with you what she said in her email/blog post/social media post kind of announcing the sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And this was originally posted on February 22nd of 2023. But we're also going to get really honest about, Mom, I know you had past experience when I was growing up, when I was younger, dealing with burnout. Personally, mm-hmm. I've been able to avoid burnout. I've been really fortunate to never really feel that way.
We're going to talk about how that can be dangerous too. And we're going to talk about how this is something that you really have to be careful of. We're going to help you identify what type of personalities are more prone to burnout. Mm-hmm. If you're someone who doesn't burn out, you're also at risk. We're going to talk about that, other creators, some of the signs that you need to look for in yourself and in the people around you, because sometimes it's the people around you who are burning out before you do. We're just going to have some really real conversations. By the way, thank you for joining us today here on Build Your Tribe. We now have a YouTube channel. So if you want to see my cute earrings and Brock and I live, or not live, the video of this, and we're going to put some graphics and some of the people that we'll be talking about, you'll see images of them if you do want to watch us on YouTube, which we would love to have you subscribe there. Otherwise, just thank you for listening here on Build Your Tribe. Brock, do you want to start, do you think, maybe talking about yourself? Like, why do you think, because first of all, let's just talk about how much content you create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I added it up recently and it's kind of crazy. So it's 3 feed posts per day on Instagram. I'll just tell you what I'm like posting every day. 3 feed posts per day on Instagram, about 10 stories per day on Instagram, 2 TikToks per day, 4 Facebook posts per day, 4 tweets per day, at least 1 post on Pinterest per day. I've also recently started posting on Clapper and Lemonade, which are 2 brand new social media platforms, which were on the Quick Tip Tuesday episode of Build Your Tribe from a couple of weeks ago. And I think, and then YouTube, of course. So we have 1 to 2 Build Your Tribe episodes that I'm recording per week, as well as 1 YouTube video on my channel and 1 YouTube video on kind of our passion project channel with my wife, which is our Tay and Brock channel. So it's a lot of flipping content.
And we are going to read Vanessa's letter. It's pretty shocking to know how much, I think we can't confirm this, but by some of her own reports, she was earning up to $500,000 a month.
A month.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's really, truly insane. But like so many people who become entrepreneurs, you become an entrepreneur because you want freedom. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have boundaries in place, if you don't know how to delegate, if you haven't learned really how to be a smart entrepreneur, you can get caught up in working like 80, 90 hours a week.
Yeah.
Even though you are your own boss.
Yeah, I've seen some memes about it where it's like, hey, you left the 40-hour work week working for someone else, and now you're working 80 hours a week for yourself. And I think it's a really easy trap to fall into, especially in the world that we live in post-1980, where we have access to the internet at home. So you mm-hmm. can be working anytime, anywhere. And that's one of the real like beauties and things that we say is like a great pro of entrepreneurship is you can work anytime, anywhere, whenever you want from home. But what that also means is now you technically, if you wanted to, or if you felt the need to, you don't have to turn it all off. You could work 24/7, 365. And now all of a sudden that hour of 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at night, where if you were working a 9-to-5 job, that hour is just you at home. You're not at work anymore. You're having dinner with your family. If you're an entrepreneur, that hour could be spent having dinner with your family, or that hour could be spent filming another YouTube video or making some more content or working on your funnel. And so it creates this burden or this pressure within entrepreneurship that, hey, if you're not working for X amount of time, you're wasting money and you're wasting that time.
It's also maybe not choosing to make a YouTube video and have dinner with your family, but you're having dinner with your family, but you're not present. Like yeah. you're looking down at your phone, you're checking emails, you're responding to things, you're creating a to-do list for the next day. And it's not so much that people make a decision to do it. I think, speaking from personal experience, for many people, they are unaware that it's a slippery slope. You love what you do. Mm-hmm. And if you love what you do, it's hard to stop doing what you love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you said, people approach it like a noble standpoint or a good intention standpoint where they want to help more people or they truly love what they do. And they just fall into the same slippery slope that they did at work. The only difference is now instead of working for someone else who mm-hmm. legally can't work them that many hours a week, they now work for themselves where they can overwork themselves. And I think there's also a lot of like ideas of insecurities around money here, where there's the scarcity mindset where you have to be working more and more and more and making more and more and more money, and you have to be hustling and working this hard. Because even though we've left the 9-to-5, there still is this idea of like, well, even as an entrepreneur, I should be working 40 hours a week. Or even as someone who works for myself, I need to keep up with the same consistency.
Yeah, there's that fear of missing out that everybody else is doing more while I'm having dinner with my family, so I've got to keep going. Mm-hmm. I think there's a number of reasons why someone can burn out, right? So sometimes that burnout is because you're working too much, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of examples, and we're going to share some of those of people who have taken a break from social media specifically. Well, we don't know how much of it has to do with how hard they're working, but I mean, like Jenna Marbles, she stepped away from YouTube when there was this big controversy around something she had said in the past, and she just left. There's quite a few other examples of like people in the fitness industry, people who are fashion bloggers, people who really were like at the peak. And then they started kind of doing this where like it was a love fest. And then they would have kind of a storm of people coming for them, which happens when you're at the top. You can't stay at the top. People are eventually going to come for you. And if you're the kind of person who really derives your value, which can be really confusing from millions of people who don't know you. And now you've got this big group of people who are angry with you, quote unquote, canceling you. So a lot of people have just said, I'm walking away. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. That's one reason. Another reason why I think people quit is they struggle with the online identity they've created for themselves.
Yeah. So basically the idea here, if I'm picking up what you're putting down, is like they have this persona on social media, or they have this like way of being, and they yeah. feel like they've changed or they've grown or they've outgrown that, or they're maybe that has never aligned with who they are offline. And so it kind mm-hmm. of is hard to keep up with this character. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Also, I mean, think about how people get really, you know, today, the way to grow, we, you know, like it or hate it, is to niche down. Mm-hmm. And to niche down is to basically take your whole personality and put it into one tiny little sliver. Mm-hmm. Like, you are this diverse person. You're multi-interested, multi-talented. You've got this experience that's varied, but yet social media just wants this one thing from you. And I can tell you from personal experience, that was one of the most stifling, debilitating. You feel like you're being untrue to yourself, and you also feel like part of you's died. And there's just like this one thing that you're like, start to become resentful of.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I definitely have heard lots of creators say that. I feel like a lot of burnout stems from going back to like your why of why you got into it, or why you started growing, or why you started whatever this business or this content creation is. And when that why is taken away, or when that why is impacted, mm-hmm. that can really lead to burnout. One thing though that I've noticed is oftentimes not a indication of burnout is the income you're making. Like, there's very little correlation there. I feel like there are definitely creators and entrepreneurs who feel burnt out and take a break because they're not making money anymore. But I also know plenty of creators and entrepreneurs who take a break like at the peak when they're making a lot of money. Like we talked about Vanessa earlier, she said in her blog post that she's going on sabbatical, that she's just now hitting $500,000 months and she's deciding to shut it down. So it seems like the amount of money you make doesn't have a huge correlation.
Or does it? Because here's what I'm thinking is, when you're not making enough money, you don't have the luxury, the privilege of walking away.
Okay.
When I walked away from basically creating fitness content, I was in a privileged position where it's like, I don't have to do any of this. You know, I don't need the money anymore.
Yeah.
And so it maybe part of it is the fact that you get to a place where you're like, what am I doing? It's not even like, I don't need the money anymore, but like you realize like, I don't need more at this cost, like the cost to my mental health. And I mean, there are so many people who took a break and they say it was because mental health reasons. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, of the people, when I did our research for this episode, I would say over 75% of them are female.
Mm, that's interesting. I wonder how much of that just in general has to do with content creators being oftentimes female. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think it's different for women. Like, Brock, to get ready for this YouTube video, right? Or this podcast, what did you do to your hair and makeup?
Nothing.
And did you have to pick out like matching earrings? And are you really super worried about the light?
No, I had to make sure that my shirt was buttoned up, and that was about it. I had to make sure my framing was good on camera.
I don't know if this is true for all women, but I find that most women are afraid to go on camera or create content because they don't want to be judged. We are judged much more harshly about our bodies, our hair, our face, our wrinkles. She needs to get work. She's getting too much work. All the things that women are judged for, whether they're creating YouTube content, teaching Instagram, or they're a fashion blogger or a fitness blogger, there's so much criticism. In fact, a lot of the people who I'm looking at on this list of those who took a break, like Hannah Bronfman, God, there's so many fitness people that I could name who just stepped away because they're like, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of having to maintain this weight. I'm sick of having people judge me that I'm too thin. I'm too heavy. I'm sick of just having to create this content and not being more than that. Like, I am more than that. And it feels like this is all anyone's judging me for. So I do think that there's a lot of women. Yeah. And on a whole nother level, right? So there's those people who you start making enough money and it just becomes too much for your mental health. Is it Casey Neistat? Mm-hmm. Is that his last name?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. He's someone when he took his break. I mean, I know he's still doing stuff now, but I think to a different extent. He cited mental health as the reason why. So, you know, maybe let me read this email that Vanessa sent to her subscribers. Okay. She says, as some of you may know, I've already noticed or may have noticed already based on my lack of presence lately on social media. I've made the decision to go on an indefinite sabbatical, aka taking a long extended break from work. In addition to making this decision, I've also made several difficult and surprising decisions in the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I discontinued my Creator Supercharged Mastermind and offboarded all of my high-ticket clients. I scaled down my multi-7-figure business. I downsized my team to just one person, from 9 to just one. I canceled all masterminds, all contracts, and subscriptions that I'm a part of. I'm retiring my signature program, BossGram Academy, for good.
Wow.
She says for good. Yeah. I stepped down from all of my speaking engagements, including the ones that I had on my vision board since I started this business. I sold my $160,000 Porsche 911 and swapped it for a Jeep Wrangler. Here's my goodbye pick. You might be thinking, what the F? This B is crazy. I want to explain. But first, I want to share a little story about my good old corporate days. And I think this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how many people listening can relate to this. She said, when I first quit my corporate job back in 2018, nobody in my circle was shocked by the decision, but everyone was shocked by my timing. It felt so random. You just got your promotion and now you're quitting, people would say, or you're just such an all-star. I really thought that you would have climbed your way up to the top. You were so close. But if I'm being honest, choosing to go on that sabbatical, on this sabbatical, feels quite similar. It feels like I'm quitting right when things are finally happening. I'm finally getting that big dog speaking engagement. I'm finally like, holy shit, making 500K. I'm having 500K months, she says. I'm so close to 1 million subscribers on YouTube and I'm finally growing and scaling my business. She says, I'm finally somebody. Mm. And yet at the height of accomplishing all these things, I found myself losing total control of my life and my mental well-being. I found myself squeezing my life and relationships around the demands of my business. Oh, I want to read that again. I found myself squeezing my life and relationships around the demands of my business instead of building a business around the life that I ultimately want to live. At the same time, a part of me also feels like I'm quitting too soon. But here's what I learned from reading the book Quit by Annie Duke, which I highly recommend. Quitting on time will usually feel like quitting too early. If you quit on time, it's going to seem like any particular desire is happening at that particular moment. That's because quitting is being able to glimpse at the range of ways the future might play out and to see the likelihood that things will turn out poorly is too high and to make it worth your while to continue. In my case, I've come to the realization that I've been building a bigger and bigger hamster wheel where I deep down, I know the following. One, I know I won't have an end. And two, I know I won't enjoy running. Mm. In other words, I've created this machine that I don't even like, and I'm realizing it's a machine I no longer want to run. This isn't to say that I'm leaving entrepreneurship. This is to say, in all bold, I'm taking a break to redefine what entrepreneurship likes for me. Vanessa, if you're watching or listening to this, I want to help you, girl. Been there. And it is possible. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But she says, I mean, isn't that why I started making videos on YouTube in the first place? Isn't this why I left my corporate job to work less, to earn more, and to have control over where I spent my time? And yet here I am. I'm falling into some patterns as I did in my corporate job, constantly striving for more at the expense of myself, chasing things I think I want, getting them, and then left feeling dissatisfied, burnt out, and again, chasing yet another thing. Don't get me wrong, though. I love what I do, and I'm grateful for this career. I love making videos. I love writing. I love creating. She's a really good writer. I love it, especially when things that I create help people. But lately, I feel like, one, I'm doing less of what I love, and when I do them, it's no longer sparking the same joy it did before. Two, I'm doing more of the things I don't love. Three, I'm saying yes to things I don't even want to do, all for the sake of keeping this machine running, pleasing people, because I want to be liked. I never want to disappoint anyone or others. I feel so responsible for everything. Mm. In the past, to solve this problem, I would keep making pivots in my business, whether external or internal. However, those pivots often felt rushed. They don't feel 100% aligned with the constraints I've built in this business, employees, clients, projects, pre-committed events, large expenses, etc., which is why I need to take a step back. She goes on to say, I mean, it's really long, so that's really the gist of it. She just says goodbye for now and with immense gratitude always, Vanessa. Mm. She said, please note that I won't be actively managing any of my inboxes or responding during this time, which is why we decided not to. I mean, we were going to ask her for an interview, but then Brock and I were talking about, we're like, well, that wouldn't be very thoughtful. Yeah. Instead, let's talk about her.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I know you had some immediate thoughts when we talked last night.
Yeah, I had some immediate thoughts. Totally like feel for her. Like, I can't even imagine how much that sucks, how much of a tough decision this has been. It's just like so many, I can't even imagine what that would feel like, and definitely feel for her in this season. I think that it's sad, right, to hear how much she had lost the joy in even the things that she loved doing, things that she was really good at, and things that used to spark her aren't sparking her anymore. And I think it's because those things have become or did become a part of that hamster wheel that she talked about, where it kept becoming a bigger and bigger, bigger hamster wheel. And one thing that stood out to me is where she said, basically, I realized I would never be able to stop running. And I think that's something that, Mom, I know you and I have talked about a lot off camera and off podcast, is building businesses that aren't extremely 100% reliant on you, your face, your personality, and just being online. Building businesses that other people can run, that can be sold, that don't require you to put yourself on camera or to start recording your voice, or even really necessarily you personally to be doing all that much. Because the more tied you are in that way, the more you have to do something every single day. You know how there are some platforms that have just been around since the beginning? They've been tried and true, and they've never really wavered. Well, eBay is one of those platforms, in my opinion. And if you're looking for a top-notch resource that can help you start, run, and grow your business specifically on eBay, then look no further than the eBay for Business podcast. Hosted by eBay employees, this podcast features sellers, industry experts, and executives who share their experiences, advice, and tips for running a successful business on eBay. They cover everything from product and campaign launches to even things like tax reporting, so you can stay up to date on all of the latest developments and trends. Plus, they even have Q&A sessions where they answer seller-submitted questions so that you can get your most pressing concerns addressed by the experts themselves. So what are you waiting for? Tune in weekly for the eBay for Business podcast, the go-to source for all things eBay. Listen wherever you listen to podcasts and take your eBay business to the next level. Building businesses that aren't extremely 100% reliant on you, your face, your personality, and just being online. Building businesses that other people can run, that can be sold, that don't require you to put yourself on camera or to start recording your voice, or even really necessarily you personally to be doing all that much. Because the more tied you are in that way, the more you have to do something every single day.
So well stated, Brock. And in true transparency, I want to say that even in creating YouTubes for Build Your Tribe, because Build Your Tribe is manageable. But I was talking to our friend Warren Carlisle, and I was telling him with his YouTube, I'm like, but there's a very good chance that we'll just can it and walk away from it, because you have to have that boundary in place. You can't just keep adding on and adding on and adding on and ignoring the fact that, okay, that was too much, or this is too much, or this could be too much. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two is, I think about how important it is to recognize that things are sliding this way before you reach that point where she is. I don't know Vanessa, I don't know her personal situation, but when I read that letter, it, so much of it felt familiar. Again, I'm just hypothesizing. When you get to that point, I think there's a lot of things at play. I would suspect that this is also relationship-based, you know, because to share my own story, when you are the face, right, which for a lot of you who are listening, that's how you build your brand. It's a personal brand. It's you on Instagram. It's your face on YouTube. It's your voice on the podcast. It's, you know, your picture on the website. And so you often feel like, I have to be ever present. I have to be constantly creating. I am the product. And that can feel really heavy. And it can also feel like you can't take a break. And it can also feel like no part of this is passive.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. I ignored it. You know, so you were saying, Mom, I never feel really burnt out. I didn't pick up on the signs that I was burning out either until your dad really, he was one that completely burnt out on it on our behalf. You know, he was just like, when is this going to end? Like, we just can't keep doing this. I don't want any, like, I hate our lives. He never said the D word, but I really felt like he was just going to walk away the way some of these people walk away from YouTube. Like, he didn't know how to exit or have me exit this life. So I really feared in that moment when he said that he was just done with everything, including the marriage. So for me, that's when I was like, I'm done then. I don't need any of this. I will walk away from all of it. I will sell all of our cars, our houses, and we can live in a cardboard box, because I didn't know it had gotten that bad. And I think for a lot of content creators who are also workaholics, we can go and go and go, And we sometimes have a partner who's like tolerant of it and putting up with it, and they joke around about it. But really, they start to build resentment, and resentment can kill a relationship.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think personally, speaking about boundaries, I actually was planning the other day a carousel post for Instagram about my boundaries for Instagram. And this was specifically for Instagram. And as I started making this post, obviously a carousel is only 10 slides. I kept adding, okay, this is another boundary. This is another boundary. And all of a sudden I look up and I was like 26 slides in or something like that.
Come on, really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Can you share
that? Yeah, I can find that. I can see if I can pull it up. But, you know, in the near future, I'm like, dang, this is too long to be a carousel. But then, you know, stepping back and seeing the bigger picture, I'm like, okay, wait, this is actually really awesome. And I think part of the reason that I'm able to avoid burnout and stay so hyper consistent, I think it was Marketing Harry, who now has some lessons in the Marketing Impact Academy, who he coined the term hyper consistency in defining how much I post. He's like, Brock is hyper consistent. Like, there's consistency and then there's hyper consistency. That's how much Brock posts. And I appreciate that. Take that as a compliment. But I think I've been able to maintain that without feeling this burnout because I have so many boundaries in place. And I can pull up that post to read what some of those boundaries are, but they are very strict boundaries. And you were talking about interpersonal relationships. My wife, Tay, she does a really great job. And we kind of keep each other in check in this way of like, we don't work before this certain hour. We don't work after a certain hour. We don't do this thing and force ourselves to record this YouTube video. And so we're able to really keep ourselves in check. But there was definitely a time, maybe late 2021 or early 2022, where it became the norm to like work after dinner and be sitting on the couch and you're not really watching Netflix. You're mainly answering emails and planning the next day's content. And we did kind of have some conversations about like, hey, we recognize that this isn't the best for our relationship or for ourselves as individuals. And so now we do a lot more to prioritize filling up our cup and doing things that are not productive in a capitalistic sense or in a making money sense, things that are just for your soul, right?
Well, how much of, and I'm not trying to lead the witness or, you know, get any compliments, but like how much of seeing dad, and like you probably didn't know specifically back then what we were struggling with. You were like probably middle school, maybe even younger. How much of after that happened, do you remember some of the boundaries that we had in place? How much of what we role modeled has helped you to create some of those boundaries? Because I do think, like Sean Cannell and I were just talking about, I'm like, I don't know anyone as balanced with work and as stringent about their boundaries as Brock is. And I'm grateful.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I might have even learned more from, not necessarily because I didn't see too much of like you and dad's private conversations and talking about his burnout or what was going on. But I definitely noticed things when I was specifically really young about you specifically, like maybe working late or working early in the morning or getting up at 4 a.m. to go to a workout class or things like that. And then I definitely noticed once the transition had been made and I was maybe in like high school or so and noticing how different you were interacting with work, your boundaries around saying no to opportunities versus what you were saying yes to and what you were prioritizing attending, like a practice or one of my sports games, things like that. So I noticed those things definitely, and those played into my own boundary setting because I had you as an example. And I also just knew, because you have said this for years now and I've heard you say it, is that like you were a workaholic and you were addicted to that work. And so with that in mind, I was always like super aware. It's very similar, I think, to a kid who was like raised in like an alcoholic home where they're like, I'm just not going anywhere near alcohol. Like I'm so aware that this capability to be addicted is in my family and it's in my DNA that I'm not even gonna go near it. So I think that I have that same approach towards workaholism. And obviously I can't not work. Like there has to be a way to make money, but I think I'm very hyper aware, you know, hyper consistent, hyper aware of that tendency that I might have, that aptitude towards overworking. And then also the other thing that I will say helps me in this sense is I've done a ton of therapy, and from a young age I've done a ton of therapy. So I recognize things that are within my control and that are my responsibility, because that was a word that really stood out to me in Vanessa's blog post or email. Was she said, I feel so responsible for everything. And I totally get that. But also I know how problematic that can be for entrepreneurs.
I just want to get her into therapy ASAP. Mm-hmm. For me, that's what I did. I had to go to therapy, and my therapist helped me discover a really early childhood experience. I didn't realize that's where I kind of formed the belief that I'm special, I'm unique, I can save people by helping them make money, by paying for things, by being the top salesperson. Like, I know it sounds strange as a child, but like it was, and I've told the story before, but I won't tell it now. But it wasn't until I went to therapy that I was like, and I put the dots together. Mm. So I think I would love to have her go to therapy.
And she might be. One. I mean, she might. We don't want right, right. to, we don't totally. Want to say she's not. But
also, you know, you pointed out something else. You said, wait a second, she's running a multi-million dollar business mm-hmm. and she has 9 people.
Yeah. Yeah. That was another thing that really stood out to me. And again, we're not trying to bash Vanessa or say she did these things wrong. We're trying to hopefully use her story as an example of lessons that you can learn. And so she mentioned in her post that she had 9 team members and she cut that down to 1. And when I heard that number, I was shocked because personally, just between my wife and I, we have, I think it's that same number. I think it's 9 team members and our business is much smaller and we're doing much less, posting much less content, operating a lot less business centers than Vanessa.
And Brock, I dare say you've got a lot more than that. Sorry to interrupt, but like if you look at our partnership.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, if I include the Insta Club Hub team members, the Team Johnson team members, which are businesses that I help manage or run or co-own, you know, if you include those people plus my immediate team members that my wife and I have, it's upwards of maybe 30 people.
Yeah. So I think from someone who's probably older than most people who are watching this and been in business longer than a lot of people listening, I just have to say, when someone says, what's the biggest mistake you made in business? What's something that you wish you had figured out earlier? I always say, I wish I had learned to delegate sooner, faster, and more. Mm-hmm. Because the quicker you learn to do that, the more you're going to actually experience that freedom that everyone wants when they become an entrepreneur. The side of this that also I think isn't going to affect, like, I don't know that everyone's going to relate to this, but there's that possibility and maybe on some other scale. And that is, I believe that fame or notoriety is or can be a trauma for a lot of people, especially these people who are not expecting to what it's going to feel like to always be on, to have people stalking you, to have people know your location and you mention something on social media and it sells out. And then you have no idea who really wants to be your friend, who's really using you, who it is that really cares about you. And then you've got millions and millions or maybe thousands of people who are telling you how much they love you and that you're perfect and body goals. And the more popular you become, the more likely you are going to have people that hate you and want to say horrible things and start accounts basically or YouTube videos to tear you apart and tear you down and pick you apart. And that's traumatic. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure if you've ever watched the D'Amelio family show. I think it's on Netflix. Maybe it's not. We'll figure out. We'll put it in the show notes. But the second season, they follow Charlie and what's the other D'Amelio girl's
Dixie?
Name? Yeah, Dixie D'Amelio and their family. And man, I mean, they are just, to me, as a mom, it breaks my heart because I can feel these are young girls and they're really struggling with the trauma of fame. And I know some people are watching and listening to this and going like, oh, please cry me a river. Mm-hmm. Like, how sad. But like, it messes a lot. Look at Britney Spears. Yeah. Look at Justin Bieber right now. Like, and I know that's like a whole nother level of fame, but is it?
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right calling it a trauma. I looked up what the definition of trauma is, and it is the lasting emotional response that often results from living through a distressing event. And becoming famous is definitely a distressing event. I mean, everything you just mentioned is extremely distressing and causes extreme emotional responses. So absolutely, yeah.
I want to share 7 things that people can look out for, which will help them to identify if, in fact, they are maybe on the path to burnout. So here's some things I think you should look out for. Number one is exhaustion, where you start to feel like you are, it's never ending. You shouldn't be sleeping as much as you do because there's no time. There's no time to relax. There's no time to recover. There's no downtime. You're working 7 days a week. If that's the case, you're probably playing or flirting with burnout. Number two would be, do you feel overwhelmed? Like when it's just something small, the video won't upload, you can't think of what to post. Maybe someone's asked you for a deadline and it just feels like in the past, that was no big deal. But now you're completely overwhelmed by it. Like you're breaking down. You feel more emotional, more sensitive. Number three is notice if you feel disconnected, disconnected from your relationships, disconnected from like the real world. Like you don't know what time it is, what day it is, what month it is. You're not feeling the highs and lows that you used to from like just normal everyday things in life. You're just working on that hamster wheel like Vanessa talked about. And number four is for those of you who are like, oh, I've never had burnout. This is really important because I think I was one of those people. I never had felt burnt out. I think for those of you who feel like I could go and go, I love what I do. I could do it 7 days a week. I never feel overwhelmed. I want you to pay attention to what your family and friends are trying to say. Like, do they seem annoyed? Are they making jokes that have a thread of truth to them about how much you're on your phone, how much you're working? Do they make little jabs that you feel like, God, do they not understand that this is my work? I have to do this. So if your friends and family seem as though they're becoming resentful of the amount of time that you are spending working or content creating, I think that's an important thing to take a look at. If you've just run out of, like, you're like, I'm just not inspired. I've done all the topics. I can't think of a podcast to record. I can't think of an Instagram and I feel empty, like there's no creativity. That's another sign that burnout is right around the corner. Number six, and this is a big one, you feel an overwhelming sense of guilt that you're letting people down. Like you feel like you're letting your friends down, your kids down, your partner down. If you take a break, you feel like you're letting your followers down. You feel like you're letting your community down. You feel like you constantly have to be doing more for all of these buckets and there's just not enough of you going to go around and you feel like you are disappointing people. And number seven, which is my last one, I mean, there's more, but I'll leave it at seven. Seven is you just feel anxious, like you have heightened anxiety. You're having a difficult time sleeping, difficult time relaxing. You find that you're getting upset much easier and you just feel that low level general anxiety is with you most of the time. That is probably a good sign that you are getting close to burnout. So how do you avoid getting there? Well, Brock, hopefully you can share with us some of the boundaries you have in place because I don't think you have to completely pull the plug. If that's what Vanessa needs to do, that's awesome. And I commend her for that. I did on fitness, you know, I didn't pull the plug on entrepreneurship, but I pulled it on fitness. And that was enough for me to let go. Okay, I can breathe and I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
But I think having boundaries in place to begin with or just to start establishing them can make a huge difference.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciated you reading those seven things because I was going through mentally myself and kind of checking off, like, does this category apply to me? And none of the seven did, fortunately.
Oh, that's good.
None of the seven, which is good because, like I said, I'm always hyper aware and really sensitive to overworking.
Do you feel like I'm hyper aware of it for you? Like I'm always making little comments and writing it in your cards.
Yes. Every time we're like out to dinner and we're like, ooh, we thought of this business idea. And you're like thinking about it or like reminding us to think about it. But no, none of those. Yeah. Not one of those do I feel that's true. I would even say the one that, like, when I heard it, I was like, ooh, maybe in the past, was like family and friends making jokes. And specifically, you mentioned like screen time and time on your phone. And I remember, I think that was kind of what Tay recognized and called out in me maybe about a year or so ago, was how much time I was spending on my phone, quote unquote, working. And a lot of it was working. I mean, at that time, my screen time was like 9 hours a day on my phone. And so one of my goals for 2023 was to cut that down to 5 hours or less per day. And I've gone overboard in that sense. And my current screen time average for this year is like less than 3 hours. And it's been
so
rewarding to spend less than 3 hours a day. And like, I know 3 hours sounds like a lot, but when you think about replying to a couple texts, going live on Instagram, FaceTiming, talking to people, like all those little moments add up and it's really easy to get 3 hours. You'd be surprised. But so I'm happy that I've gotten to that number. And that's kind of like my first boundary is just in general about how much time I'm spending on my phone, on my computer, watching these videos and consuming, trying to limit that or having a boundary set, like a firm boundary at 5 hours or 3 hours, whatever it may be. That's been really beneficial for me to just it's like a you're putting yourself in jail, right? Like if you can't access your phone after the fifth hour, well, then you're not going to keep working. That's been a great boundary for me. But I have my other boundaries pulled up here. And these are specific to Instagram, but I don't listen to any audio messages or open any video messages because that significantly slows down my process. I have hired someone to respond to all of my direct messages and comments because it is really important to me. I do feel a responsibility to a certain extent to interacting with my community and staying engaged with them and answering their questions and serving them. But I recognized about a year and a half ago that I could not humanly do that myself. So I outsourced that. I hired someone. Her name is Kendra. She's my community manager, community director. And it's her job to respond to all of my DMs and comments. And it is basically a full-time job for her. Mm-hmm. So that's a boundary I have for myself is that I don't really go into my comment section. I don't really go into my DMs. I'll occasionally pop in and respond to a few here and there. But I also know that that's going to eat up my screen time. So I'm pretty protective of not doing that.
Wait a second. If you've got 26 of these, I'm going to have a boundary and say, you better get through these fast.
Okay, I'll go through them fast. I don't respond to DMs that are longer than a paragraph or two. I do not follow anyone back unless I genuinely want to engage with their content. I unfollow or mute anyone who makes me feel like I'm not doing enough, I'm not good enough, or is consistently bringing negativity to my feed. I do not work before 10 a.m. or after 5 p.m. unless absolutely necessary. And usually the only time that would happen is if I'm meeting with a team from Egypt and it's completely opposite ends of the earth. So like they have to meet early in the morning, or if I'm doing a live training that like starts at 6 p.m. Yeah. Those are the only exceptions. Besides that, I do not work after those times. So when we're done recording this little podcast today, like I'm going to close my computer, close my laptop. I have things that are still on my to-do list, but they're going to have to wait until tomorrow because I do not work after 5 p.m. Those are specific to Instagram. But outside of Instagram, I mentioned my community manager and how I've outsourced to her. And you said earlier that the biggest lesson you wished you had learned earlier on in entrepreneurship was the necessity of delegation. And I think one of the questions that I often get is like, what's the best business decision you've ever made? What's the best entrepreneurship advice you can give? And my answer is always the same answer that you gave that you wished you had learned, which is to delegate and outsource. And I learned that from you. And I learned that at a really young age. I think I told this story on a separate podcast recently where the first hire that I made, the first virtual assistant that I brought on, I was 19 years old. I had made less than 100 total sales. The business, the Unwrapped Snap at that time, had made less than $2,500, less than $2,500. And yet I was outsourcing and hiring someone. And also at that time, I wasn't married. I didn't have a family. I was actually even like in between transferring from one college to another. So I didn't even technically even go to school at that moment. So if you were to look at my life, like that was the time where I had the most free time available. But ever since then, I haven't looked back. And that's why now, a couple of years later, we're up to 9 or even a dozen team members, depending on how you define them. But that is just so, so, so crucial.
Yeah. Any other boundaries?
Yeah, some other boundaries just off the top of my head. I have to do something every single day that is not productive in the way that it's going to make me money or it's going to grow my channels or something. So like I have a binder sitting next to me right now with like 800 Pokemon cards. That's something you're never going to see on Instagram. I even thought about, because there's like those live streams, they probably don't come up on your TikTok, but they come up on mine, where all the guys do is they open Pokemon cards. They go live and they open cards. And you and dad for my birthday got me like 18 packs of Pokemon cards. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, we basically got you the same thing for your birthday that we did when you were 9.
Yeah. And for a split second, I thought like, dude, I could go live on TikTok and just like open all these decks of cards. But then I was like, no, why the hell would I turn this thing that is purely joy for me into content? Like, why would I try to make something out of this? So instead I just open them. And I have so many things like that. Like I watch like video game live streamers like Ninja on YouTube. There's nothing that I'm going to gain from that. I just watch that because it's entertainment. Last night when we had our phone call kind of planning this podcast, I was on my way to go buy a GameCube off of Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. Like there are so many. Christmas, my wife got me a Nintendo Switch. I feel like these are all revolving around video games and Pokemon, but there's also like reading, which I do plenty of fiction reading that's not really going to help me as an entrepreneur, just things that fill up my cup. And that's, you know,
I'm noticing that some of your boundaries are not so much boundaries as they are kind of goals for yourself that are not related to work, to content creation to making money. They're like things I need to do to live. And maybe that's a really good lesson for some of you who are, you know, you're like, oh, I've got some of these boundaries in place. Maybe it's not like removing things so much from your plate, but adding, you know, in the diet industry, I was never a fan of telling anyone, oh, you can't eat this. Instead, I would say, here's the things you should eat. So start your meals with plants, like start your meals with dark greens, leafy greens, and start drinking a lot more water. So like, because when you add all the good stuff, you don't have time for some of the stuff that isn't so healthy. And I think the same is true of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, totally. It's like you only have 24 hours in your day. And so if I have these goals for myself that I want to spend an hour a day working out, which is something I do every single day, if I want to run 500 miles this year, which is a goal that I have for myself, and so far I'm on pace. If I want to, you know, get to the next level in my Pokemon game, like there's only so many hours. And so if I'm prioritizing those things, which fill up my soul and inspire me and make me just bring me joy in life, then I only have X number of hours to devote to work.
So for me, some of the boundaries I have, they are just a very clear priority clarity statement. Mm-hmm. So for example, if doing videos for this podcast starts to become too much, if it starts to interfere with life with your dad, where we are putting things off, then I just won't do it. I'll walk away from it. I've been podcasting 3 episodes a week on the Chalene Show for years. But right now we are, you know, footloose and fancy free. And I want to do more living. So I gave up one of the days, which also means giving up a huge chunk of income, but I can. And it's the right thing to do. And I want to do that before I resent it, before I burn out. Other boundaries I have in place, I don't work before 11 a.m. I never, with a capital N, check my emails. I've hired someone to check my emails. I've hired someone to read through all my emails, respond to my emails. I do not go into Slack, even though I'm the CEO. Everybody else lives on Slack. I won't go in it because it just will consume my day. I, like you, have outsourced a lot of my social media, and that which I haven't, it's like, I'm a human. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got 7,000 unread messages, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a lot of setting up priorities and just knowing. You have to know what moves the needle,
yeah,
and what you're doing just because everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to say is something, you know, and we'll end this here. We could talk about this indefinitely. I just can't wait to hear people's comments. So you guys, if you're listening to this on whatever podcast app you're listening to, leave us a comment. You can do so by writing a review for the show, or we'd love for you to come over to YouTube and leave your comment underneath this video for this podcast, because I really want to hear your feedback and your thoughts. Like when have you struggled with this? What part of it is the hardest for you? Have you experienced burnout? How did you work around it? But again, the thing that you and I talked about last night that I think is really important to kind of end this with is to recognize that if everything relies on you, you are going to burn out. Mm-hmm. So that next business opportunity, ask yourself, is there something else I could do that's more passive? Like Brett and I, we were talking about another business opportunity that I had this great idea. And he's like, yeah, but it's you again. Mm-hmm. You become the product. Why don't we instead invest that in an apartment building? And guess what? You don't have to stand out front and sell it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're right. You know, and I do think it's really important that as entrepreneurs, you have a degree of financial literacy and you start looking at how to make your money make you money so that it's not always you having to sell you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely agree.
Hey, thanks you guys for joining us here today on Build Your Tribe Rock. That was really fun. I look forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, that was fun. And if you watched on the YouTube video, we really appreciate it. Welcome to the YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe so you can see our other future YouTube videos. And of course, we'll keep you up to date if we even plan to continue this YouTube or if it's ultimately going to lead to our demise and burnout and we're just going to kill the whole YouTube thing and just stick with audio only, because it's much easier to record a podcast when you don't have to get the ring light out and get all the mics and cameras and all that fancy thing set up. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I love awesome. You.
Love you too, Mom.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.